So as we've begun to see, Gemara is discussing Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, Korah, which one of our own have a zchus to explore Torah Mada moment, or the course of Shabbos Densev, on an Erev Shabbos, no doubt, to actually see and share with us an up-close visual of the Korah, of the top of the palm tree, the top of the palm trunk, which is new and still soft and therefore edible. We were discussing the other week, unlike a woody tree, like an apple or a peach or a plum or a hickory or an elm, the type of trees that grow in these parts that have secondary growth that grow over time, year by year, they grow horizontally as well. The palm tree really just has primary growth. It just grows vertically. There's always that newest soft part at the top, and that's the hearts of palm. That's the edible part, which the Gemara refers to as the korah. Gemara talks about the korah here, Brachas Lamavav. The Masoras HaShas points out that the Gemara also talks about the korah in Ervin, Daf Chav Ches on the days. The question here is specific. There's a lot to say about all these, as we've seen. And any food, any plant-based food item, one of the recurring themes throughout this parak, is that anytime you have a plant-based food item, so you can discuss in terms of brachas or in terms of the rest of Seder's Ram, and I stress, the rest of Seder's Ram, that once again brings us back to this connection between Birchas HaPeiros and the Mitzvah Tzulis Ba'aretz. But here the Gemara is focused particularly on the question of the bracha. What bracha do you make on the hearts of palm? Do you make a Ha'adama, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, or do you make a Shahakol, and that was the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe, one of his Rabbeim, the Amora Shmuel. And Yehuda had said, why not make a Ha'adama? Why not make a Ha'adama? Peirahu. Or as the Gemara says in Erevin, Uchlu. It's the fruit, it's the food, it's an edible item. So, and it grows from the ground. So why wouldn't you make a Ha'adama? And Shmuel says, no. Shmuel says, initially, you understand, it's true that it's edible, but on the other hand, so full of hakshos. It's not going to be around forever. Eventually, it's going to get hard. And that's every part of the trunk of that. How tall would you say that palm tree was? Approximately. 15, 20 feet. Right, 15, 20 feet. So I'm no palm farmer. But a palm farmer probably could estimate, based on that height, how old the tree is. Because every year, it grows up. There's another chunk of layer of hearts of palm that then hardens. And then another. That's how the trunk grows upward, vertically. Because the hearts of palm is temporarily soft, and then it becomes hard wood. And the next layer grows on top of that. Sulfalaxos. So Shmuel says, look, it's sulfalaxos. Anyone who's around palm trees, we're not around palm trees adequately, in part because we're not in Eretz Yisrael. If anyone's around palm trees, apparently would know. Right now it's edible. Here today, gone tomorrow. If you wait however long, a couple of months, a year, whatever it is, it's going to turn into rock-solid wood, and it's inedible. Shine. That's what Shmuel says. And remember, the Gemara had gone back and forth. The Gemara points out, just because Sofa L'Hakshos, that doesn't therefore mean, it's automatically Shakal. But the first Svara was Sofa L'Hakshos. And what had been the Gemara's Kasha against Sofa L'Hakshos? Tzinnon, exactly. I mean, Tzinnon is also self-alachos. The Gemara introduced a second smart. You know what the difference is with Tzinnon? You know why Tzinnon doesn't become a shakal because... because not the inchi adai to the pugla. Because that's the kavanas hanatiyah. L'shem ma. For what purpose did you plant it? The Gemara is presenting us with two rationales for the fact that Shmuel holds, and that is ultimately how the Gemara says clearly how we paskin, even though Shmuel himself had supported Rabbi Yehuda with a tzinnon, but that the Gemara gives in another chiluk, the two rationales for why hearts of palm, even though they grow on a tree, they were mere shahako and not a hadama. Number one, because it's temporary, it's going to get hard eventually. It's edibility. It's only temporarily edible. Eventually it's going to get hard. And number two, that's not why you plant this. You didn't plant this palm tree because you wanted to eat hearts of palm. You planted the palm tree because you wanted to eat whatever the fruits of that particular palm tree are. You wanted the dates, you wanted the coconut, whatever it is. So in thinking about this sugya, we had initially been struck by a slew of kashas. In thinking about Rabbi Yehuda with the Hadama, we wondered, why Hadama not Ha'etz? It's true, it's true, it's true. He's not disputing the fact that it's true. And then in thinking about Shmuel, we were struck by three kashas. Not with this whole Sofel Hakshos question, Sofel Hakshos Sarafian, what does it even mean? Everything is Sofel Hakshos. Nothing lasts forever. No food item. Nothing physical lasts forever. So really no food item lasts forever. Almost everything we eat has a lot of water in it, and as a result, will decay more quickly. That's actually why as we touched on in earlier sugyas, many methods of food preparation started originally, historically, as a way of preserving the food. Pickling and drying and jam making, they all start initially out of necessity as a mother invention. You want to preserve your fruits, the nutrition of fruit beyond the summertime, so you have to figure out a way to reduce the water content so that it won't rot as quickly. So you can reduce the water content by drying the fruit, you can reduce the water content by pickling, you can reduce the water content by jam making. Different things you can do to preserve it. So, but everything ultimately is nifsad. You could hold it off a little longer, you could dry the fruit and then it'll last for months instead of days or weeks, but sooner or later. So that's one problem. So, well, what do you mean self-alakshas? Everything is self-alakshas. Number two, who cares? Self-alakshas. So who cares? We had seen some indications we've shown that maybe self-alakshas means self-alakshas before you even pick it. It's not just, you pick the apple, eventually on your shelf it's going to go bad. But here we're saying, by the tznon and by the dekel, the point is, while it's still on the tree, it's going to go hard. But that brings us to the second problem with Shmuel, which is, who cares? It's a self-alakshas. I'm eating it now. What do I care what's going to happen tomorrow? And let's say I have a chves. I have a date. A date fruit. I have a date. And if I let this date sit around, a lot of it is going to ooze into dvash. And we paskin, what bracha do you make on dubshu de tamri? What bracha do you make? Shahakal. Right? So if I leave this date on the in the container on my desk for the next week, it'll mostly ooze out into shahakal honey. Okay, but right now, it's a whole fruit. If I eat it right now, what bracha do I make on the fruit? Right, so I push it. It's a whole day. But sofo to become a shahakal. Sofo to become, if I let it sit, it's going to turn into honey. You say, well, who cares if you let it sit? If you eat it in a week from now, you make shahakal. But right now, it's a ace. What do I care what's going to be? So that's a problem with me also. What do I care? Yeah, if you left this long enough, when Yaakov went to see the palm tree, so maybe the top half a foot or foot, whatever it was, of the trunk is soft, and the rest of it is hard. The other 14 and a half feet are hard. But they were all once soft. Okay. But I didn't eat them when they were soft, obviously. Okay, so now they're hard. If I'm eating it now when it's soft, so who cares that's going to become hard? And then finally, we were bothered by how do you understand the Gemara's two svaras? The Gemara gave one svara, and then the Gemara did what? Shmuel himself says self-lachos. Shmuel himself then says, but there's a problem because it's known. And then the Gemara says, well, here's a second svara. You write snow self-lachos, but that's why you're planting it. So that's why it retains its hadama. Masha'enu came, the dekel wasn't planted for that. So how do you make sense of all this? So just a starting point, just to throw out before we even go anywhere else, is this idea of Kavana Sanatiya alone, which Rishon will have a lot to say, it might remind you of something that a Rishon said in an earlier sugya. And if a Gemara reminds you of what a Rishon said elsewhere, that probably means that this Gemara perhaps is a source of that Rishon. In the previous sugya, we were talking about Peiros versus Shlokos. Remember that? Amar Ches Amaral, you just told me before, Dubshu de Tamri is a Shahakal. But Amar Ches Amaral, Mei Shlokos is a Hadamah. And that had been, we had seen at least three different approaches in Rishonim. And let's talk for a moment about one of them. Remember the Rashba? Rashba had said, the difference is this the way it's usually consumed? If it's usually consumed as a soup or as a juice, so then it retains the bracha. But if it's not usually consumed as such, it's usually eaten as a whole fruit, but punkt, you decided to turn your apples into apple cider, but you live in a time in history when most people don't, then you make a shehakol. That in the sheet of the Rashba, it depends on whether that lav dirchayu b'hachi, that's not the derech, that makes a shehakol. So I would note that that sounds an awful lot like our Gemara. Our Gemara isn't talking about a food that was processed. Our Gemara is talking about a different question, just look at different parts of a plant. But it's worth noticing that it's a very similar svara. Lo nati, the Gemara is already saying, you have to think about, why did you plant this? What was the main purpose of the planting? And if you don't have the right kavana sanatiya, and may that could degrade into a shahako. So it could be, you got to look back at the Rashba. It could be that the source of the Rashba is taking this line, Lamed Vavam and Aleph, and applying it to the later Gemara is Lamed Ches Lamed Tes. He's taking it from the Gemara had presented a svara of, I care about not just what it is, but was this the purpose of the plant in the context of, think about different parts of a plant, and he's thinking instead of sort of laterally, you know, different parts of a plant, the Rashba's looking longitudinally. Well, it starts as this, but then it processes into that. Does it lose the bracha there? But he's applying, it could be he's importing the svara of Lonati Ishadait Zahi, and not just for different parts of a plant, but different stages of the processing, different stages in the trajectory of a plant. So it's something to think about. But so that really gets us thinking there's a lot going on in this, yeah? And this has broad application. We had already seen Tosfos and other Rishonim start talking about other food items that may suffer from the same problem, the shells of unripe young almonds, and things like that. Got into the whole bitter almond conversation. So there's a lot going on in the sugya, and the sugya is put an important svaris, which makes it that much more significant that we should try to figure out. So what exactly is going on? So we had seen last time, in terms of specific how you understand the two svaris, so one possibility was the Prey Yoshua. And he suggested, look, read the Gemara. It sounds like we had one condition, and then we add another condition. In order to be a shahakol, it has to be sofo lahakshos. But that alone is not enough, because after all, snow is also sofo lahakshos. It needs sofo lahakshos plus lo nati adaifid lahakshos. And this plus that makes a shahakol. In other words, it's a composite of two factors. It's only shahakol if it's the two factors together. Remember, we had spent time last time, I won't go through the whole cheshbon again. We spent time last time, Pnei Yeshua tries to figure out how you work that through the shaka v'tayr of the Gemara, but it's a composite of two factors. Now, it's a little bit challenging, the Pnei Yeshua, because aside from the deal that he has in the Gemara, and how do you read the Gemara, if you look in the Rishonim, the Pnei Yeshua is an Achron. You look back in the way the Rishonim quotes the Gemara, what sense do you get from the Rishonim? Right, a lot of Rishonim seem to ignore Sofa Lahakshos. Right, if you look at, for instance, we started with that Tosfos that deals with halacha lamaisa lamed vav that applies this to other cases. Lo nati incha daita dekor the last Tosfos lamed vav vav says stavar gemara kavosei to Shmuel and we passing like Shmuel and therefore luvei gefanim lo nati incha daita dehachi you make a shahakol shkedim you make a shahakol. So often it sounds from Tosfos like he's only talking about Lonati in Shadait Zahi. You get that impression from the Rashba also. He seems pretty clear. Afagab de Kalse Shmuel of Yehuda, Philip's Kavase de Shmuel, and the Maskan de Gemara. The time of the Bills, the reason is Kedamar, Kamid Lonati in Shadait Zahi, Lamarachil El Shahako. The law of Nikri Pri. And therefore, let's talk about the Shkedit. On the other hand, you look at the Ritva. So the Ritva, he sounds like he is quoting. In one piece, one paragraph, he quotes Sofa Lahakshos. In the other paragraph, he quotes Lanatin Shaddai Ta'achi. So then you say, well, maybe the Ritva thinks you do accept both conditions. So it's a little bit murkier than that, because the Ritva only quoted Sofa Lahakshos in the first paragraph, the first Dira Masl, which was earlier in the Sugya. In the second Dira Masl, he only quotes Lanatin Shaddai Ta'achi. It may be a little murky in the other direction also. It's hard to pin down Tosfos and the Rashba for sure, because they do mention that when they talk about the almond shells, they do mention, you know, you're eating them while they're still soft. So they do sort of refer a little bit to Sofa Lahakshos. You definitely get the impression that it's receded into the background. So there's no sense that the Rashba like opens pretty clearly when he makes his like his thesis statement at the beginning. He clearly had taken a course in proper composition, right? The Rashba leads with, here is the maskana. Time of the milsa was read just before. First line of the Rashba. Called midalanati insha daitahachi lamarachin. He's not talking explicitly about sofal actions. Tosas is not talking explicitly about sofal actions. Maybe there'd be maramis to it. Maybe it's understood. Okay, maybe. Doesn't sound like that. The Ritva, again, in the second paragraph, second Rashba is about the maskana, doesn't mention sofal actions. And take questions in a moment. What would you say about the Rambam? It's a little bit of a trick question. What would you say about the Rambam? What does the Rambam think this far is? Take a look. He doesn't say anything. Right? Rambam doesn't give any svar. He just says it's Yaakov. Korsha Rosh Adeka, Kamo Eitz, Mevar Eitz Lavan, Mevar Chalav B'tchilo Shakal. He doesn't explicitly give a svar. He does mention that Kemo Eitz Lavan. Does that mean Sofa Lahakshos? Not really. The Kesef Mishnah, on the side of the Rambam, he's pretty clear. The Kesef Mishnah, his job is Rav Yosef Karo, who, as we've mentioned in the past, before he wrote his own Sefer Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, he first wrote commentaries on the two main Sifri Halacha that preceded him, the Rambam and the Tur. In both, he's very explicit that his purpose was to give the sources, give the background that these Svarim are based on. In the Rambam, he usually just gives like one or two Makoros. Let's say the Rambam is based on this Gemara and this and that. Sometimes he'll discuss a little bit. And in the Beis Yosef, on the Tur, he already gives you the whole sugya. Won't you just explain the Tur? He'll say, oh, there's a Gemara, and there is, the Rashba says this, and Tosfos says that, and the Tur fits in over here. And then, after he wrote Makoros for the Rambam and the Tur, he then wrote his own Shulchan Aruch. So take a look at Kesef Mishnah over here. Halacha Vav. He says, the Gemara in Lamed Vav, Ketz Mevarchin, Korah, Rabbi Yehuda says, Hadam, Shmuel says, Shahakal, and here's his praises of the sugya. He summarizes the entire sugya in the next few lines. He says, Rehuda says, Hadama Shmuel says, Shahakal, Ve'asikna, and our maskana is, Hilchasak Yishmuel, the Pasalak Shmuel, okay, that's why the Rambam is Pasalak Shmuel Shahakal, Umifaresh Hasam Taimei Mishom, Delonati Inchi Dikla Adaita Dekora. And the Gemara explains the reason is, why is it Shahakal? Because Lonati Inchi Adaita Dekora. He doesn't say anything else at all. That is the entire sugya. That's the maskana. That's the bottom line for the Kesef Mishnah. He's probably the clearest of anyone that he thinks that this is gone. So how do you understand that? What do you mean it's gone? Shmuel said it. So we suggested last time, well, it could be. Possibility number two is maybe it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas Aram. It's a machlokas Shmuel. And the Amoroi Basrai. The later Amoroi, we don't know who, Stamma de Gemara, but it sounds like it's a machlokas Shmuel and the Stamma de Gemara. Shmuel said originally himself it said Shahakal, and he had said because Sofal Achshos, and that's what he actually said. You know, Rabbi Yehuda, I was thinking about more, you're right. Right? Very good. But then the Gemara has a comeback, Velohi, right? We're not sure, is that Velohi Shmuel himself speaking, Or is that with all the other Amoraim? Later Amoraim said, actually, although Shmuel himself seems to have backed out, we disagree with Shmuel, we hold Yishapasna. Shmuel held Yishapasna like Yehuda, we hold Yishapasna like Shmuel. Okay? The Machlokas. So if the first possibility was a composite, or for those who like terminology, a conjunction, you need both. You need both self-alakshas and lanati and shaitachi. Possibility number two is a disjunction. It's an either or. The machloka, the disjunctive one, the disjunction. No one holds of either or. One sheet to held of one, and one sheet to held of the other. A disjunctive machlokas. Okay, and then there's a third possibility. There's a third possibility, in part because we're still sort of bothered by the other questions. Even if ultimately Sofal Hakshas was rejected, what did it mean? What was the Havamina? I mean, everything's Sofal Hakshas. And what was the Havamina? Why should I care? So, and it could be that if we explore a third possibility, we might even be able to pull all this together. I want to get to a ra'ah, but first I'll mention that start thinking about this from the Chidushi Yifei Lev. Yifei Lev is Rabbi Levinson, was apparently a Talmud of the Mir in the days of Lazy Yudel Finkel and Andrew Ruchem back in Poland. Apparently he was very, very, very well thought of. They have a line in the Hakdama to the Sefer that this Rav Levinson always used to stress a comment that they attribute to Rav Chaim and Rav Velvel. And Rav Levinson felt very close to the Briska Zerach, and he had tremendous bekiyas. And he used to often quote a line they attribute to Rav Chaim and Rav Velvel, that if you have a svara, you have an idea, if you can't explain it to someone in the street, then you're not ready to say it. There has to be clarity. The mark of great lumdis is not that it's opaque. The mark of a great shir isn't that no one understood it. The mark of a great shir is that it was clear. That once you say it, like they say about the Rav, like once you say it, then how could it be otherwise? Before he said it, couldn't understand. We didn't see it. But once you say it, you can't unsee it. Once you say it, it's clear. It's a very, very, very beautiful sefer. It's a sefer davka on brachas, which not... Not so much lumdus as had been written in brachas up until that point. Very, very sweet sefer. He was a rav in Chizeve, which is a town in Poland near Lomża. Lomża was famous for its yeshiva, which moved before the war to Petach Tikva. I think part of the draw of Lomża, of the Lomża yeshiva in Petach Tikva, was there was food there. Yerushalayim, there were bachim who left Yerushalayim for Lomża, for Petach Tikva, because Lomża was near the farms and the orchards, and there was what to eat. And the Rosh Hashiva, some of them were initially drawn just because they need something to eat. And once they came to Lomża, they were very, very taken by the Rosh Hashiva. So he had been a Rav near Lomża, and then Rav Levinson came to America. He was a Rav in Brooklyn. So if Yamav, he lived in Borough Park, a very, very beautiful sefer. So he makes the following suggestion. He says, maybe it's not an either or. I say, maybe we were thinking about this the wrong way. I'll maybe paraphrase a drop. He says, it's not an either or. He says, maybe the Gemara isn't saying, well, there's one item, self-lakshos, and there's another item, you need this and that, the way Pnei Yeshua thought about it. Or if you don't want to say that, maybe you have to say this or that. He says, maybe you have to think more fluidly. Maybe the Gemara is not presenting a conjunction, a composite of two separate factors, nor is the Gemara presenting a disjunctive machlokas of is it this factor or that factor. Maybe the Gemara is presenting a redefinition. And he says, you know, Bichlal, let's go back to one of the earlier questions. What does Sofal Hakshas mean? What does Sofal Hakshas mean? I mean, everything's gonna rot eventually. Everything's a Shahakal.
So apples are shahakal, bananas are shahakal. Everything's going to rot eventually.
Even if you leave it in a jar on your on the desk of your dorm room, everything does go bad eventually. Right. Even if, or dafka if. Everything goes bad eventually. So he says, that's what the Gemara was asking. That's goof what the Gemara said. Snown. And what was the Gemara's answer?
Obviously, there has to be a certain point in time that you care about. Eventually, everything rots. But who cares about eventually? I'm eating it now.
I'm eating it now. Let me give Lahavdil Alfi Avdalos. Can we say Lahavdil Alfi Avdalos? Mashal Ma'ad Davradoma from Shtus and Avodah Zarah. But it'll capture the Svar. Some of you may have gone on, you know, in Pennsylvania, may have gone once to go see the Amish. They're very quaint, very cute. There's groups in Pennsylvania and elsewhere that they forswear modern technology. They won't drive cars. They won't use phones. So one of the great kashas on the Amish is, aside from the fact that they're all devoted Zara, and that Sarach Beer, like, why would you forswear modern technology per se? But one of the great kashas is, what do you mean you don't want to use technology? I mean, but they don't use cars, but they use wheels, they use wagons, they use buckets, they use pulleys. They use axes and saws. They don't use power saws. They do use hand saws. That's also an invention. Right? Elamai, they decided to draw a line in the sand, and whatever is 1850, 1830. Anything before 1830 is Kaddish Kadashim. Then anything after 1830 is Aviyah V'Osatama. Right? So again, we reject their shita for a whole slew of reasons. But this kasha captures that notion that sometimes there has to be a point in time that's relevant. So, when I say Sofa Lahakshos, the Yifeylev says, Lahavdil, now to come back to MS, so the Gemara say, of course everything eventually rots. But the difference is, so why not say what's known as Shahakal, because it'll eventually get hard, and apples are Shahakal, because it'll eventually turn brown and rot and spoil? Well, the answer is, yeah, but what's the point in time do you care about? What did the Gemara say? What's the point in time you care about by the Tzanon? Right? Nati insha dait, the pugla. We plant it we plant this plant not for the vegetation, the stalks and the leaves that grow on top. We plant it for the radish. So the point in time I care about is when the radish is edible. I planted this plant so that in X number of months from now, I could pick this radish and eat it. So that's the moment in time that we were waiting for. So that's the official moment in time. So I don't care about the fact that if you wait another 3 months, it'll be hard. Who cares? This is the moment in time that I cared about. I planted it for whenever, I don't know, May, July, August, whenever the radish is ready. That was the whole kavanah of the plant. So this says pshat, and this. Kavanah netiyah is defined self-lachshos. In other words, and let's play it out some more. The dekel, you planted it for the fruit. So therefore, it's nice that right now the hearts of palm are edible, but I'm looking for a later point in time. I'm looking for, I really care about when the fruit will be edible. Like Tosa says about the almonds, right? If you let the almonds ripen, so then you get in the summertime, you pick your almonds in Beit Meir, and you take a rock and you crack the hard shell, and you get at the not inside the shell. And that's where you planted this tree for the summertime when you get to pick the nut. So if you choose instead to, you pass by an almond tree in a month from now, 2 months from now, in the springtime, you say, well, that looks exciting. You pick it. The almond inside is not yet ripe. The almond inside is not tasty, but the shell is, at that point, is still soft and edible. So he said, whoa, but that's so full of hakshas. I mean, so full of hakshas. Not just, well, eventually it's going to turn hard. The official moment of time that we care about, the moment for which this was planted, is summertime. So that's the official koveya. If in summer, this, by the time you get to summer, this shell will be hard and edible, so then it's not as chasha. Then it's a shakal. That's the way the Yifeylev starts talking about it. Again, it's not two separate, it's not two random different factors, Sofal Hakshos and Kavanah Sanatiyah, and either we're using both of them or using this or that, maybe some achlokas. No. It's a redefinition.
In other words, this isn't separate. Kavanas Netziah is giving pshat in Sof Lachshos. It's giving you a sense of,
and we're now beginning to see why we care. Things begin to come together. Let's take this idea of redefinition. That's sort of that yisod that the Yifei Lev is really presenting. He says the Pnei Yeshua got us stuck in seeing these are two separate factors, and it's A and B, or it's A or B. No, reject the whole paradigm, says Yifei Lev. There's not two random factors that come up one after the other. One is saying pshat, the other. There's a redefinition. Oh, with that in mind, once you see the Yifei Lev, let's take some questions, and then we'll turn to the Ra'ah, who from the Rishonim, who I believe is already on to a Yifei Lev type of idea. Maybe with the Yifei Lev glasses, I'm not sure that we would have noticed this in the Ra'ah if we hadn't seen the Yifei Lev. Once it gets you thinking about sort of separate factors versus sort of a more coherent approach, so then we'll look at the Ra'ah, hopefully we'll see a lot. Yeah.
I have a question about the Pnei Yeshua.
Oh, but sorry, before we take questions, one more Nakuda for now is, this redefinition responds to the problem of the Rishonim who don't mention Lonati. In other words, maybe it's all that Lonati and Shaitachi was a retake. It was a redefinition of Sof Lachshos. So that's why the maybe Rishonim just mentioned that, or maybe Rishonim mentioned that, but have some Sof Lachshos in mind because they mentioned about the shells being soft. Yeah, because it's not this or that. This was the final version of the svar with which the Gemara had begun. Yeah, David.
So, Pnei Yeshua says that really you needed Sof Lachshos and I learned a Tainchi. So, when the Gemara originally introduces the concept of learning Tainchi, it says, like as a call at the end, the call Hech to learn Tainchi, I'd like to the Hachi, Lem Merchner, like, meaning, which some of the Rishonim said, I mean, you know, only make a tackle on it. But how do you, if that idea is just brought as a call, that it seems like no matter what you need, and if you don't have when it's high inchi, then it's immediately tackle without considering subconscious.
Right. So that may have led. So that's a good point. That line in the Gemara may lead to an understanding that we're rejecting. It's a disjunctive rejection. Instead of Sof Lachshos, instead let's talk about Lo Natin Shehedayt Zekora, or if you say it's a redefinition, so Vaitur, so together he points out also the whole Pnei Yeshua's problem can dissolve if the Pnei Yeshua is assuming that Slav doesn't get hard. So the Meiri thinks that Slav does get hard, the Meiri probably saw capers up close, he lived in that part of the world, so he says that's not an issue b'chol. Yeah. That's a good point, right? The Nusach Gemara, that line, how you read that line will depend on how you understand or how you understand the relation between the Svaras, or vice versa, that line may be an indication of what's the...
But even in the...
The relation between the Svaras.
Yeah. Wouldn't the Yeshua, you could say that, you know, Sof Lachshos is everything.
If everything is Sof Lachshos, then it's a meaningless factor.
That what? You're saying that you may have to say it out
loud? If everything is Sof Lachshos, so then it's not relevant. Right. Then it also has to be something that's made out of molecules. Okay. Everything you're going to eat is made out of molecules. So I don't need to, it doesn't help me. It's trivial to.
Why point it out?
Right. It's only not trivial if there are things that are Sof Lachshos and things that are not Sof Lachshos. Yeah.
Not quite following our the shita of the Feli. How does the Kavanas HaNetziah modify Sof Lachshos in that case?
The Feli thinks that that Sof Lachshos, going back to this kasha, the Sof Lachshos is doesn't mean at some point in the future of sovelachshus, everything is sovelachshus eventually. It means it's sovelachshus within the time frame for which you planted this tree or this plant. As we're looking at, that's again the mashal of the Amish. The Amish randomly decided in their arbitrary avodah zarah approach to crown a certain moment of time that's going to define, you know, the before and after of technology. So the Havdal, the Havdalos, the Gemara is saying, so Falahakshos means if within the time frame for which you planted this plant, this part of the tree is gonna stop being edible by the time you get to the main point in time, the climax.
Like the harvesting type.
Right. So you know, exactly. In other words, you planted this. That's a good way to think. The main harvest time. The main harvest time of an almond tree is in the summer when the almonds are already edible. So look at that moment in time. If at that moment in time these shells are already inedible, okay, then they're shahako. But if they only becomes inedible further on, that's irrelevant. Okay.
What? Can they end up being the same also?
By definition, the season of harvesting is when the apples are edible. You don't wait until the apples rot to harvest them.
At the same time,
No, but the point is here you have two different edible parts of the plant. You have the hearts of palm and the palm fruits, or you have the almonds, nuts, and the almond shells. So whenever you have multiple parts, the Gemara is saying, well, you have to figure out which is the actual chelek mechuvan, which part did you actually want, and that defines your time frame. And if this other secondary part that you're eating prematurely, if it's going to harden before the chelek mechuvan is ready, so then this secondary part only gets a shahar. Yeah.
Last on the Kuda there, he was saying, it speaks to people that say they don't mention sovelachshus, they don't mention lodete.
No. All the Rishonim and Poskim here talk about lonati. They're all, as far as we can tell, talk about lonati in shedai tahachi. They, to varying degrees, leave out sovelachshus, either totally, like the case of Mishnah, or they give it very little focus and don't mention it explicitly. Like Tosas mentions about their soft shells, but doesn't sort of name that as a factor. The Rashi even more so, very clearly, even more so than Tosas, clearly names Nonati Inshi as the factor. And he mentions in passing, and we saw the Ritva. Well, he mentions sovelachshus in a previous Dibur Maaso, when he's up to the earlier stage, where he gets here. It's all about lonati inshi adaitachi. So it's the sofal hapshos in the Rishonim has disappeared either partially or totally. And there are more shows. You look at the Rabbeinu Yonah and so on and so forth. This is just a sampling. And you see that consistently. The sofal hapshos is either downplayed or entirely gone. So how do you understand that? So it's very hard to say it's like the Pnei Yeshua that it's a composite. Maybe. It's easier to say that it's a machlokas, and the Gemara had either Shmuel himself had a havni maskana, or later Amoraim are disagreeing with Shmuel. I guess that's another way of thinking about it. Either a machlokas or it's a havamina umaskana. I'll leave it to Shmuel. It's another way of thinking about it. If you think that the velohi is Shmuel himself speaking, or you have the third possibility. This the redefinition. With that, let's maybe we'll hopefully we hold, is it a question of understanding or a question of going later?
No,
that's
a question.
Yeah.
So how did the Pnei Yeshua read that line?
You're very focused on that line. Pnei Yeshua would say it's with the understanding that. It's with the understanding that, of course, you also need. I would say the Pnei Yeshua actually would read the line. He said, "You think it's only lanati yichadayat ha'achi? What about slav?" And Pnei Yeshua says, "We could have responded, no, but you also need sofel hakshos." So that's what he says. We could have responded to that, but instead we gave an even better terrors. in the Hanami. The Gemara has, at that point is trying to work it out. Is it only this or is it both? But he, that you take a look back at Pnei Yeshua, he works with that. But again, if the Pnei Yeshua reads the Gemara as understanding that you really need both conditions. Okay. Let's take a look at a Ra'ah. Let's take a look at a Ra'ah. And the truth is that the Ra'ah is actually going to give us beautiful Ra'ah. Who was the Ra'ah? Maybe an Aaron Halevi. You don't learn him as often as his contemporary, the Rashba. The Ra'ah and the Rashba were both Talmidim. Just a quick family, intellectual family tree here. Rabban and Rabbeinu Yonah are both Sfaradi Rishonim, 1200s. And they each have a number of Talmidim, who include the Rashba and the Ra'ah. They in turn, and there were other Talmidim also. There was Rabbi Yonach ben Ramban, Rabbi Hudavid. You learn Tzachim, you learn Sanhedrin, you get a lot of Hudavid. And then the Rashba Ra'ah had a common Talmud, but he seems to have been primarily a Talmud of the Ra'ah. Exactly, the Ritva. The Ritva will refer to the Rashba as Mori HaRashba. Very good. My Rebbe, the Rashba, to refer to the Ra'ah as just Mori, my Rebbe. It sounds like he was primarily a Talmud of the Ra'ah, and also the Rashba. He says, my Rebbe means the Ra'ah. He wants to refer to the Rashba, my Rebbe, the Rashba. Sort of like a secondary Rebbe. So we don't often learn Ra'ah as much as we learn Rashba. Generally we learn Masechtos. We don't have... In Sifrei Halacha, there's more written by the Ra'ah. On Masechtos, there isn't that much written or published from the Ra'ah. Brachas is one of the Masechtos where we do have Chidushei HaRa'ah. He seems to have written his Chidushim al Seder HaRif, sort of like Talmid Rebbe Yonah and the Ran and the Rebbe Nevuch Yosef and other Masechtos. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at this Adir Maschel Korah. He's going to address, I think we're going to see in the Ra'ah, number one, another way of thinking about the redefinition, and he's also going to pull everything together very beautifully. He's going to begin with Rabbi Yehuda, and then he's going to move to Shmuel. So let's take a look together. Let's read inside. You have this in your packet. Korah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omer Bar Priyadam, Shmuel Omer Shakal Nevitra. So he starts step by step. Pirish, what is Korah? Hurosh Anfi Adeko. It's at the top of the where the leaves emerge. The leaves emerge from the trunk of the palm tree. Kishiyotze min Arkarko Hurach, Vederech Bnei Adam Al-Afro. When it comes, when it initially grows, it's soft, and people do eat it. The Amar of Yehuda, Bor Pri Adama, the Chashiv Le Peira. Yehuda says Hadama, it's a Peira. And before he goes on to Shmuel, as you pick up a Shmuel at the bottom of the column, but first he spends a few minutes on the Kasha we have been wondering about Yehuda. A Filo Hachi, even though he considers it a Peira, Lo Mevar Bor Pri. You don't make a Ha'ez. Even though it's a tree, it's not that Rabbi Yehuda, it's not that Rabbi Yehuda the Amora thinks that a palm tree is not a tree. It's not that he thinks it's like a banana tree, that it's al pi halacha not a tree. Al pagav de ilanu, it is a tree. So then what's wrong? Yisham the chalheicha dehu gufei lav peira lo shayach levaruchi aleil mikarye peri ha'etz. If the part that you are eating is not itself a fruit, then you cannot call it peri ha'etz. You cannot call it the fruit of the tree. Ela peri ha'adama. You can call it the fruit of the ground. The chazila mechal, the gedula karka. It's edible and it grows from the ground. The trunk of the tree is growing from the ground. Midhavi irakas. The same as a vegetable. The same as lettuce. The same as lettuce. this idea, not that he's saying it's a part of a tree, but it's he gufei lav peira. It's not the fruit. Who? What?
How does he find fruit?
Good questions. Let's explore this a little further. His another Rishon who has this a similar type of idea is one of the Ra'az Rabbeim, the Ramban. In Lamed Vav Beis, you have it in front of you. I should put out before we even dig in any further. We're laying out a svaras here that we will develop further as we get into the next piece of Gemara, wrapping onto Lamed Vav Beis. But let's begin to get our feet wet. And here the Ramban, or it's the last paragraph on Lamed Vav Beis, right before the Lamed Tes Simon Aleph. We have very little Ramban on brachas. It skips around a lot. Sometimes it's referred to as the Lakutos HaRamban, the samplings. I don't know if the Ramban only wrote a little bit on brachas, or he wrote thoroughly, but we only part of it survived. Whatever it is, we have a little bit of Ramban on brachas. This happens to be one of the circuits where we do. Take a look at the last paragraph. Ra'ishi b'alachas gedolos. Ramban says, I was learning the Bahag. And by the way, here is the halachas gedolos. It's sort of like if you took the riff and all the mesechtas and you put them into one volume. Because you look in the table of contents, it goes through Brachos, Shabbos, Erevin, Pesachim. It's that style. The Bahag lived several centuries before the Rif. The Rif lived in the 1000s, the 11th century. Bahag goes back to, I think, the 8th or 9th century. In simple English, the 700s or the 800s. But he was already doing what the Rif would later do as well, what the Rambam, in a certain sense, would do as well, which is to seek to make a halachic summary of the Gemara, giving the maskanas lahalacha. It's interesting when you learn Hilchos Brachos, when the Bahag on our perek, he gives that sort of style, like summaries, maskanas of the Gemara. He also adds a lot of foods that he had that the Gemara doesn't discuss. I don't know if the language that he's using is Aramaic or Arabic or some other, but he's rattling off over the course of a couple of pages, all these names of foods and fruits and vegetables. Pispag and gushkank. I don't know. I'm not sure what they are. If you're interested in exploring, it'd be fascinating. But Al Kapanim, here's one that we do recognize. If you want, you can take a look in this in the actual Bahag. It's on page Samach Vav. In the new Machon Yerushalayim printing. What do you see in the Bahag? The Is Rabbanon Diamri Sukar, the Kanada Sukar Bar Pi Adama. Ah, sugar. That's a food that we recognize, whose name we recognize. What do you call from the Bahag? That it's a?
Adama.
Not what you might remember. What Tosis and the Rosh call from the Bahag? That it's a? Ha'etz. Rabban. And Ben Yonah also, in the back of the Gemara, quote, the Bahag said it's Ha'adama. Astira, the answer is you open the Bahag, and he actually says both. Like, who had quoted both Ha'es and Ha'adama? Which Rishon? The Rambam, right. Rambam said, many Gaonim say Ha'adama, some Gaonim say Ha'es. So the truth is, you look back in the Bahag, who was one of the Gaonim, so he gives both approaches, Ha'es and Ha'adama. Presumably, Tosus and the Rosh felt that Ha'etz was more mistaber. They quoted that shita from the Bahag. The Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah seemed to think that maybe Hadama is more mistaber. They quoted that shita from the Bahag. The Ramban was just quoting both sheets from the Bahag, and he thought they were both, as you remember, incorrect. The Ramban's one said, well, some say Ha'etz, some say Hadama. I think they're both wrong. Should be a shahakal. So here the Ramban, like his mechutan and contemporary Rabbeinu Yonah, is quoting from the Bahag the Hadama approach. And now the Ramban addresses the question of why. We had already begun to think about this a little bit when you saw the Rambam quoting Ha'etz and Hadama. Well, why this, why that? The Ramban is quite explicit. Brief and explicit. Lav mishum desfirle dekane lav etzu. It's not that the Bahag holds that sugar cane is not a tree. It's not that he thinks that sugar cane is like a banana tree. Halachically not a tree. No! Elach desfirle. This is what he holds. Avagav de etu, it is a tree. But kaven de lav peira kamapik, v'lochlin in peira ela eitz, lo mitbar lan bar pri adama, bar pri eitz al bar pri adama. Ooh, it is a tree. But you only make a bar pri eitz on the fruit, not on the wood. If you're eating the woody part of the tree, you can't. That's the eitz, but the bracha isn't borei eitz. The bracha is borei pri eitz. Avichai, I pointed during Seder that the truth is this sounds like a Gemara that we had learned back in Lamed Heyman days. The very sharp era. He said when the Gemara was discussing should there be a separate bracha on olive oil, the Gemara said, well, what bracha would you even make? Heichi nivrich, nivrich bori pri azayis. Peira gufa zayis sikri. You can't say bori pri azayis. The fruit is called the zayis. In other words, bori pri eitz means you have the tree, the eitz, and this is the fruit of the tree. So that Gemara sounds like it's already sensitive and is subtly pointing, making this point. Who else says this? So Tosas and the Rosh, we had seen this in passing. Tosas and Rosh talk about cinnamon. Cinnamon bark. Cinnamon bark, Tosas on Lamed Vav on the days, and the Rosh, and Simon, where was Simon Gimel, I think? Simon Vav. The canela, we had picked at this earlier also. Canela, or kinamon, or I think the canela is like a Spanish romance word, a Latin-based word. I think he has, the Rosh talks about cinnamon, which is presumably a Germanic word. They say you make a bar piyadama. It's gadel al haaretz kemo kanim. It's they may also be saying a similar idea. It's a tree. It's the wood itself. We're going to have to explore this more. We believe that, or will explore this more. The Ra'arei sends you back to the next sugi about salaf, why there's certain parts of eitz and certain parts of adama. So I have to get more into the question that Mr. Erdfarb is raising of exactly how are you defining which part of the tree is the fruit. And which is this like a scientific issue? Does this have to do with something else? Well, the jury is out. Well, we'll be exploring this more as we go into the next piece of Gemara. But the Ra'ah is already making this point that's part of what's going on with Rav Yehuda. Yes, it's a tree. It's not that he thinks that a dekel is not a tree. Of course a dekel is a tree. You make a ha'etz on dates, but you don't make ha'etz on the entire tree. You only make ha'etz on the pre ha'etz, not on the eitz itself. Okay, keep that. That's interesting in and of itself, and we will explore that more. The Ra'ah ends this piece with this segment about Rav Yehuda with Hachma Fishim B'Gemara Taimid the Rav Yehuda Mishum De'uchlehu. It's a food. They point out at the bottom. We look, as I mentioned, there's a parallel sugi in Erevin. There the Gemara says Uchla. Our Gemara says Peira. Then maybe the Ra'ah had a girsa ochla. Okay, it's a food. It's not really the fruit. We mean peyra more generally. It's a food. Okay, now let's take a look at Shmuel. So now that we've dealt somewhat with this question of why is it Adam instead of Eitz, right, because it's the Eitz versus the Pri, now let's talk about Shmuel. The time of the Shmuel, again, back in the Ra'ah, the very bottom of column Reish Tamach Aleph. The time of the Shmuel, what's Shmuel's rationale? Domer Shahako. He says it's Shahako. What's wrong? But it's part of a tree. Okay, not to make a eight, but make a adama. It grows from the ground. Vegetables grow from the ground, they make a adama. So the tree trunk grows from the ground, make a adama. The time of the Shmuel, Domer Shahako, the first Shinan. The Gemara explains, hold the sofo lahakshos lav peira. Ooh. So he starts with Svar number one. Very good. He found the Rishon was actually saying Svar number one. Again, his Talmud, the Ritzvah, will also mention Svar number one in explaining the beginning of the Gemara. Let's see where the Ra'ah goes with this. Rakin. He says, but there are many types of fruits that are only chazi. Chaza literally is Aramaic for to see. Chaza is Ra'ah. So it's also used as an idiom. When you want to say something is fit or eligible, you say it is roi. Roi literally means it's seen, but that's the way you say fit or eligible. Then Aramaic also, the Aramaic equivalent of roi is chazi. So it's chazi. The lo chazu elokishen rock. There are plenty of fruits that are only fit and edible when they're soft. Ke'en pilpulin, like certain peppers, we'll get to that on Lama Vavam Biz. We'll mix a charmin and toplin and other condiments. But still, even though ultimately if you let it sit around until it gets hard and inedible, but if you get it when it's soft, you make it. The Gemara will The Gemara will get to the Gemara Lan Vav Mebeis that says, if you get the pepper when it's soft, certain peppers are haetz. Strange, right? We used to think of peppers are adama. The Gemara is saying, say certain peppers are haetz. And the Gemara says, if you get them when they're nice and soft, and moist and edible, they're haetz. You leave them too long, they'll become not a haetz. So he says, it's demonstrable that not everything that's sold from Hachos is a shahakal, which our Gemara had said about Sinon. He said, the Gemara is going to say later also, about a haetz. So what's going on? Now the Rav is really discussing kasha number two. What do you mean sofa lakshos? Everything is sofa lakshos. That's essentially, he's saying different words, that's essentially what he's asking. Ella, so why don't we throw around sofa lakshos more broadly? Lots of things are sofa lakshos. Everything is eventually sofa lakshos. And lots of things will mamash become hard within a relatively short period of time. So we'll pick up from footnote 48, I mean in the text of the Ra'ah, from the number 48. Ella, here's key line. Hasam hu gufei peira. But that is the fruit, the pepper. I forgot the sofa lakshos. Yeah, it'll become hard later. As long as it's edible, shapir it is right now called a fruit. And even if it's, he was making that distinction we'd already suggested, everything eventually rots at some point after you pick it. But even if it's something which might get hard on the tree if you leave it there too long, still, nikomakom, kohecha dakati lo ikshi, as long as akati is adayim, it still has not yet ikshi become hard. Virakich, it's still soft. Peirahavi, it is a fruit. Or peirachashim, and it's considered to be a fruit. It has that significance. Veinzar chalomar b'davar shein sovel hakshel achash nishlosh. Or all the more so, something that's only going to harden after you pick. I mean, everything eventually hardens or rots, spoils, decays after you pick it. Of course, but even he says, not only that, even if it's the sort of thing that might harden on the tree, like the korah, right? And like what else? Like the snow, which can harden while it's still in the ground, or still rooted. But if this is what you wanted, the hacha, the korah, came into hu gufe lav peiru hu kal. This isn't the fruit. Alpha gav duhu midi de achlile. It is something that you eat. Bekevan lo koi bemilse. It's not going to stay that way. The sofa lakshos lo chashiv gidule karkala gabe bracha. Leinian bracha lemikarye pri klau. El bruha le shahaka. You cannot even call it periha adama. It loses significance of periha adama because it loses significance because sofa lakshos and it itself is not why you planted it. Which where did he get this idea from?
Well, not the insha that the hachim. If this isn't what you planted it for, if this is an incidental byproduct, I'm not planting palm trees to eat the hearts of palm. I'm planting palm trees to eat the dates, to eat the coconuts, to enjoy the shade, maybe even to give a tropical vibe to my resort property. But I didn't plant it for the hearts of palm. Certainly if I'm planting for some other edible part, so the hearts of palm are a incidental byproduct. So it's already teetering on the edge of, is this really pre-hadama? This is like not so chashev. It brings us back to the larger issue of, you know, borderline achilos, not such chashev achilos, often drop down to shahakal. So it's already lo nati in shia daita dahachi. So therefore what? So therefore, well, that alone might not make it a shahakal, but the Ra'ah says, but that plus sofa lakshos makes a shahakal. So now once again, there's a fusion. The Ra'ah, centuries before the Yufei Lev lived in the 1900s,
The Ra takes us back to the 1200s, the 1300s. The Ra's already saying, sounds like he's saying that there's a fusion. There's a fusion of these two ideas. He goes on to see, he seems to say in the next paragraph as well, that you need both, but they're not random. The point is that these are both contributing to the insignificance of this part of the plant. It's lo nati insha daita dahachi. That's not really what I planted it for. It's totally a byproduct. And if you leave it specifically, it sounds like on the tree long enough, it's not even going to last. Forget about when you harvest eventually decays. On the tree, it's not going to last. This is like an ephemeral thing. Like if you catch it for the next couple of weeks, next couple of months, you can get it while it's edible, but it's headed towards being on the tree inedibly. Whether we're talking about the top of the bark of the palm that will eventually harden, or you're talking about the shells of the almonds that by summertime will have hardened. So these are both contributing. These are two factors that together push the insignificance of this plant part over the top. It's temporarily edible while it's on the plant, and it's not why I planted it. So together, yes. And then this is then it becomes a real garnish. This is mamish. As he says, it's hard to even. It did grow from the ground, but this isn't what the ground is here to produce. This is sort of like so incidental. The combination of it, even while it's growing, it's only temporarily edible. Catch it while you can, and it's not what you want. So if you want you want to eat the pepper, you plant it for the pepper. You want to eat the radish, you plant it for the radish. Okay, so then several options are relevant. This is what I want. So this is chashuv. Or perhaps the reverse also. If it's a secondary part of the plant, but it's not sofel hachshos, so that may also have more significance. But the combination of the two, it's incidental. And by the way, it shouldn't even say secondary. But the Gemara goes on to say by the tzlaf, I primarily want the ha'etz fruits, the capers and the caper berries, but you're also, the Gemara said, you're also no te'ah dai to the shoes. I also plant the caper for the leaves for salad. So there could be like a primary purpose, and there's a secondary purpose, and then there's like totally incidental. Tertiary. No, like level three. The hearts of palm are even more incidental than the caper leaves for salad. I primarily plant the caper bush for the caper berries and the caper buds, but I also want I plan to harvest the leaves also. That's part of the job too. So all of that already makes it more chashuv. But if it's mamish, like this is not at all, this is totally just a byproduct, so then it could be in the world of Shahakal. The combination of those two. That's how the Ra'ah seems to present it. What you realize then is sort of all these ideas come together. In the Bar Priya, Eighth Bar Priya, Adam, we're already beginning to think about which are the dominant, we're starting to rank the different parts of the tree. And Yaakov raised a good point, which we're going to have to come back to as we go on to the next piece of Gemara. Yaakov is Riverdale. It raised a good point, we have to come back to me, go right through the Gemara, which is exactly how are you defining which is the pre-hites? Okay. Is it purely botany, or you're getting the impression here, maybe it has to do with not just like, is it botanically a fruit, but like, why did I plant this? Well, you can see Rishon are going to debate that. But then, if I super didn't plant it, not only wasn't like the main thing like the caper berry, it wasn't even like a secondary intent, like the leaves of the caper bush, which I also want to harvest for salad. This is totally incidental. It's not the kavana at all. But when you plant a palm tree, you end up temporarily with hearts of palm. So if it's totally incidental and it's totally temporary, so together that makes it super... super not chashuv, and we have a hard time calling this gedulei karka. That was his. It's a surprising nusach, but that was his nusach. They have a hard time calling this gedulei karka. So we're going to make a she ha kol. He reads through the next paragraph. He seems to weave that as well into the maskana. We'll come back to that next paragraph for the Rav Mirtz Hashem as we continue in the Gemara. We see more of what the Gemara has to say later on. L'chora, he is presenting a different type of redefinition, but a way of sort of fusing the different elements of the Gemara together. Now, just we'll end with a bit of halacha l'maisa, and I would love to take questions, but maybe we'll actually even take questions downstairs in the basement, so that way I can take your questions at the same time. The guys can also chazer. Just one last point, which I promised at the first year that we would talk about, which is, so where does that leave you, Bizman Hazeh? I believe that there are there is a discussion in Poskim about what bracha do you make on Har Tzipah. Now, often, what do you mean, what bracha makes Har Tzipah? It's a Gemara. The Gemara has the Pesach. Rambam quotes it clearly. The Gemara is a pretty undeniable, unmistakable maskana. But I believe that there are poskim who argue that Bizman Hazeh, Har Tzipah should be a Hadama because Bizman Hazeh, there are Har Tzipah farms. Because commercially, if Yaakov would have had access to a ladder on Erev Shabbos and climbed up that palm tree and scooped out some Har Tzipah, that would certainly be a shahakal. That's machlokas amaram. Maskanas ha-gemar is like Shmuel. It's a shahakal. Lo nati in she'adait dekora. However, I believe that nowadays the Har Tzipah are a business, and there are farms that grow palm trees, short palm trees. They just keep scooping. They never get very tall because they leave enough. They figured out the science. You know, you have to leave enough so that the tree doesn't die. You can scoop out a lot, just like when you harvest honey from beehives. So part of the art and science of beekeeping is you can't take all the honey. Then the bees need honey to live, but bees produce more honey than they need to live. So if a beekeeper is judicious, he can take plenty of honey for human use and still leave enough that the bees have what to live on, and the bees continue to survive and thrive and produce more seasons of honey. So the same here, if you can explore this online if you're interested, but there are hearts of palm, I think on the hearts of palm farms, they don't use date palms or coconut palms. They have particular species of palms that lend themselves to this type of cultivation. It's like a whole world. Very much not those trees, I believe, they are notea adaita dekora. That there are hearts of palm farms. They pick the species they want, and that's what these were literally planted for this purpose. So I believe there are poskim who say our hearts of palm are not yadaita hachi, and therefore it's not chas v'shalom. Not that we're disagreeing with the Gemara. If the Amoraim were talking about our hearts of palm, Shmuel would have agreed with Yehuda. Yes, it's sofa lahakshos, but not the inchi yadaita dekora for these palms. So that's why I believe there are many poskim who bezman hazeh. Bizman Hazeh, again, if you, it's not that the halacha changed. If you replicate the way they used to be, if Yaakov would have harvested hearts of palm from a random palm tree, that's a shahakal, as it always was. But if you go to a hearts of palm farm and harvest hearts of palm, or if you go to your supermarket and buy hearts of palm that were harvested on a commercial hearts of palm farm, so then, the not the inshadai to the korah, so then everyone would agree that that is a hadamah.